have the Word of God, please take the Bible and turn to Luke, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 4. We've been on this journey looking at emotions. For quite some time, as I mentioned earlier, I feel like I've on a whole new level of looking at things in Scripture, of understanding of my own life, my own heart, other people. The bondage that Satan wants to put us in, has us in. And we can readily identify some of these extreme cases, like the maniac of Gadarene in the Gadarene coast, where he's cutting himself. Oh, we can readily see those. We can see it in the guy on the street that's homeless and the effects of sin and Satan. We can see it in those, but we don't oftentimes see it in our own lives. Because one thing, Satan does not want us to know that he's manipulating us, or there's some demonic influence that is manipulating us. And if you don't know it's manipulating you, there's no need to address it. You just pass it off as, okay, I'm human, this is how the Christian life is, and if we come back down to it, then there's not some, in some areas, and sometimes there's not a whole lot of difference between the world and us. How we face things, how we deal with things, how we feel about things, how we approach things. And then there's those cases where, that are very severe, and they're private. They would certainly be categorized as a PTSD, post-traumatic stress, areas like that. Things that you would face in combat or as in law enforcement or some type of public safety where you're dealing with traumatic things day in, day out. Personal things. And this is where Satan often gets our emotions and puts them in bondage, and we don't really know, but there's these things is really where Satan is holding us back, and if we don't understand that God deals with these things, then we're going to live a Christian life that is beneath what Jesus Christ died for. And I don't know about you, but to me, understanding this thing of emotion, and by the way, we're just scratching the surface of it. If you're getting tired of it, let me just say this. Here's the thing. This will make you a better soul winner. Because you can help people if you can explain how Satan has them in bondage. This will make you a better parent because you can look at your children and begin to understand why they're doing the things that they do when you've raised them according to God's Word. And I'm talking about when they're grown. This will make you a better individual as far as understanding you being released from the bondage that Satan probably has good high percentile of people in this room today under bondage, and you don't know it. You've got things you deal with, but it's like you rationalize it away, ever never coming to the truth and getting the freedom that God has for you. It's like being forgiven for something and saying, you know, I know I'm forgiven, but I just don't feel it. You ever been there? And when you understand that you are in bondage, you're manipulated by Satan. I've been manipulated by Satan. When you understand this and you don't play around with it anymore, it's not a little tinker toy, but we're dealing with some very dark, evil influence in our lives. And I told the Sunday school class this morning, if you're moving forward, don't think Satan won't hinder you. And the hindrance, as I stated earlier, it comes and we don't know that it's there. And if you don't know it is there, this is the greatest deception. If you don't know it's not there, you never address it, will you? But we can address we see the extreme manifestations of Satan's influence. The drug addict. The life that's been utterly destroyed. The marriage that's just been decimated, and that has been decimated time and again. You can see the effects of it, but when you can't really see the effects of it, but there's just something there. That is the ultimate deception. And I think that's where God has a lot of good Christian people. And I'm going to tell you something. You can have the most correct doctrine in the world and still be manipulated by Satan. You can be in church three times a week and still be manipulated by Satan. But the good news is this. Jesus Christ understands all this, but Satan doesn't want you and I to understand all this. This is why I'm going to preach this to God still. If he continues to give me stuff on this, I'm going to preach it. Because I believe we're on the threshold of unlocking some great things from the Word of God to be able to help people. As I said earlier, I feel like a scientist that has just learned about the DNA mapping of the human body. I feel like we're unraveling some spiritual DNA things here. I'm excited about it. The good news is this. Luke 4, verse 18. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let me just point this out. You see preach here twice. And to avoid preaching is to choose to stay in captivity. Let me say that again. To stay in captivity means you choose to avoid preaching. That's why Satan always has something to come up on Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. And amen. For some. Not for all, but for some. To stay in bondage is to choose to neglect preaching. Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And I want to give you just a few definitions here this morning of who Jesus Christ is targeting here. He is targeting the people who are poor, those that have nothing. There are people who have been so decimated that they have nothing. And let me tell you something. You may have something here today, but if Satan is manipulating and controlling your life, and he can and will. By the way, if he has one fraction of your life and you don't know it, one part of your emotions, you don't know it, he can take that. That's a beachhead, and destroy every other good, godly thing you have. So please, don't turn this sermon off this morning. Because I've seen people go from here down to here in their life. Satan is no joke. And the ruins that he brings in our life is no joke. It's no joke when it affects our children, our families, our marriage. It's no joke. He is a robber, and his ultimate game is to destroy you and I. And it doesn't happen overnight. Oftentimes it takes, depends on how strong in the Lord you are. If the stronger you are, the longer it'll take. But he'll get a beachhead. Get your emotions concerned. He'll put a fear in there, and that fear will never leave. He'll put guilt there, and that guilt will never leave. He'll put insecurity there, and that insecurity will never leave. I know I'm forgiven, but I don't feel it. I know I'm secure in Christ, but I don't feel secure. I know he's in control of everything in the world, and nothing will come to me unless he permits it, but I still don't feel secure. I know he's an all-wise God, and I know that I need to trust his leading, but I just don't feel it. And there are times in our lives when Satan is dealing that way, and here's what happens. We rationalize it away, and he'll back off maybe a month, a week, or two, or maybe a year, then all of a sudden he'll take that same weakness that he manipulated you for a day or for a week or for a month or for 6 months in your life, and he'll come back and he'll do it all over again, because you have something called emotional memory. And oftentimes it's some traumatic thing in your life. And you heard me say before, many times for some people, this occurred in childhood. You say, well, Pastor, Jesus don't deal with the past. I'm going to show you that he does. Because if you can't get healing back there, what happened in the past, you can't go forward. You see, some of you are beat up over past relationships and you can't go forward. You're taking that luggage into your second, third, fourth, fifth marriage. And God put a Bible-believing church here on the corner to help all of us. Amen. And he takes these pains, these emotions, and he owns our soul with these things. You see, so Jesus came to minister to the poor and then to restore or recover. What does he say? Recover. In other words, he's taken back. In other words, to restore. And he says that he's to set. That means to assign on a mission. You see this? Jesus is on a mission. And what I'm trying to tell you today, that there is hope in Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ gets on a mission, friend, he's on a mission. Don't forget who we're dealing with here. He's on a mission. You see, and then he said, I came to set at liberty them that are what? Bruised. Those are emotional things. I got a bruise on my leg the other day. I don't think I've ever had a bruise this bad in all my life. You ever had a bruise so bad when you just lay a garment on it, it hurts? I'm like, Lord, I ain't never had nothing like that before. I was hobbling around, still kind of hobbling around. Preston figured out it can make me almost cry, and he's over there trying to poke, and I said, you hit that thing, I'm going to knock you out. It hurt. Never had anything like that. You see, those are some emotional things like that. God, why did this happen? And see, because of that emotional pain and guilt and insecurity, depression, whatever it is, you can't move forward. I know I'm forgiven, but I don't feel it. Where's the release at, Pastor? I understand the power of the blood. I get all that stuff. I know God's all wise. But understand this. If we can understand how Satan has manipulated and bondaged our emotions, we can get the victory that is ours in Christ. Some of you go to the doctor, you don't get the report, a good report, or just in limbo, whatever the case may be, and we get all in a tizzy. You ever been in a tizzy? You see, people are hurting. Putting on a good face, hoping for the best, yet living in the past while in the present, dreading the future. Satan's desires is to sabotage, whether immediately or down the road. His design is to sabotage our relationship with the Father. Let me just say this. You know why some people come to church and they hear, to a Bible-believing church, and they hear the Word of God? Because that truth gets in there. And man, when it gets in there, they have to realize some things, and it scares the daylights out of them. It's, oh, that's too painful. Don't go there. Don't touch my bruise. Don't touch my bruise. It hurts. I'm on here to tell you, Jesus loves you and your bruise today. And he wants to heal. And he can heal. You see, Jesus wants to build, bless those that are at their rope's end. He wants to release you from those dark places, to release you from the emotional pain of the past and the present. And he invites us to freedom. But to do it, we truly must experience some things. You see, Jesus dealt with people who had been abused by Satan. If you read this text right here in verse 18, what Jesus set out, he said, this is my mission plan. Every business has a business plan. Jesus is setting forth his mission plan. And let me tell you something. The reason I'm pointing this out, taking the time for this, the reason why I want you to understand this is this. Don't leave here today thinking that there is no hope, because this is Jesus' business plan. In other words, he wants to make your bruises his business. Amen. What a Savior. What a Savior. He wants to make our failures his business. Those areas of life that have been we've been hurt and damaged and failed and have regret and guilt and those things, and he wants to make that his business today. You see, when we get this and understand this, and often you see folks forgiven but still in bondage because of the influence of Satan. They have the victory. They have the blessing. They have the blood. They have the resurrection. But that doesn't benefit them. And if it's not benefiting us, there means that there's an impediment in there somewhere. And that impediment is called Satan. And he produces sin. And he helps us to sin at times. You see, we're saved. Oh, yeah. Free? No. Saved? Oh, yes. But in living in peace? No. Saved? Yes. But he can trigger something in our emotions and we can go back in a past and live in a bondage. And I want you to notice something here. Let's go to John 21. This man right here was on fire for God. On fire for God. This is why I tell people, don't you think for a moment, just because you've been saved 3 days, three times a week you're in church, you got superb doctrine, all this good stuff, walking on a high horse, don't think for a moment Satan can't come back. Kick your legs right out from under you. Because he did Peter that way. Lord, I'm never going to forsake you. You see, Satan got into a part of Peter's life that nearly destroyed this man. Jesus told him, Peter, Satan desires to sift thee. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith, what? Thy what? Faith faileth what? Not. You know why oftentimes our faith fails? Is because we don't feel like going on. We don't feel like God's with us. And we've noticed that our emotions will drive us away from God. Jesus gives freedom from the past. Did you hear me? He gives freedom from the past. Peter was so ashamed of what he had done about denying the Lord Jesus Christ. How many think you'd feel ashamed? Amen. You see, in John chapter 21, we read here in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus sent to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was what? Okay. What is grief? Emotion. What was God, what was Jesus doing here? What was God doing in this man's life? He had asked him three times, did you love me? Three times. How many times did Peter deny? Three times. You see, what is God doing? He's going back where? In the past. He's going back in the past. And in every place that Peter is feeling guilt, every place he's feeling sinful, every place he's feeling a failure, every place he's feeling discouraged, God is redeeming every one of those things in this man's life at this moment. Amen. You see, there's times when our children, we don't know everything they're doing or everything they've experienced. And sometimes we don't know why they're making the decisions that they're making. But let me tell you something. Many times it's emotionally driven because Satan's manipulating some of these things that they don't want to talk about in their life. Emotionally satanic influenced. They don't know it. Perhaps you don't know it. But after you leave here today, I hope you realize it. Because this is something I don't think Satan wants God's people to realize. This is how he really, the puppet on the string, manipulates us. Think about this. Remember last week we talked about emotional language? When Adam sinned, the first fear in the garden, the first emotion in the Bible is what? Fear, right? What did God ask him? He didn't ask him, why are you doing there? Not then. He didn't ask him that. He said, who? Who told you you were naked? Who do you think told him? Who do you think told him he needed to run from God? And he replied in the human form this. On his side of it, he said, I was what? Afraid. But God didn't ask him, what made you afraid? He didn't ask him that. He said, who told you? Who's behind manipulating our emotions? You see, when you start looking at Scripture from this standpoint, you will understand more about some of these passages of Scripture. When I got to thinking about this, God said, who made you realize you were naked? And he went, I am. In that moment, he realized he was guilty. Satan accused him. And that accusation made this Adam afraid. Now he wants to hide from God. Is some of these things maybe making sense in people's behavior in your life and that you know perhaps your own? Our emotions are so incredibly manipulated by Satan. It's just unreal. Now, here's where I don't have time to get this. Oh my, I wish I did. I'm going to get into it. If you got to go, go ahead. How many of you want to be healed in some areas like this? You see, God takes us back in the past. Now, this is I've never seen this. I can't tell you how many times I've preached this. And I'm not saying this had never been preached before. But for me, this is new stuff, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Notice the method of how the Master did this. It's just phenomenal. Phenomenal. Verse 5, got to start there. He says, then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, what? Yes. Now, has this ever really happened in the life of the disciples before? Yeah. This is how Jesus approached them. Remember when they caught that great draught of fish in the beginning of Jesus' ministry? This is kind of a replay. And I want you to know that. But this is after the resurrection right here, okay? Verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the what? Has he not ever told them that before? What's he doing in their life right now? What's he doing? Going in the past. And some of you don't think today, your problems today is not related to your past, but the fact is probably 85-90% of what you're dealing with right now is from back there. Back there. And it affects marriages, relationships, jobs. It just affects life. Who wouldn't want you to know that? Satan. So we see the Master taking them back where? To the past. Children, or cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall what? Find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the what? Who? Lord. Okay, what is he doing here? He's bringing back memory. He's bringing back, have you ever, how many of you ever been fishing or hunting and got it, caught a big fish or bagged a big game or whatever, and it's like, wow. Right? You get excited? What's that? Emotion. I don't know about you, but if I caught a big, huge net of fish and I was a commercial fisherman, I'd be thinking, hey, I'm excited about this. That's emotion. So what is God evoking here? He's invoking what? Intellect. Emotion. Okay? Why is he doing this? Listen, he can't heal Peter, which we just read he was trying to do, right? He can't heal Peter until he goes back here. And that's what he's doing. I've never seen this before in the Scripture. I'm getting chills right now. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. You might not want to go back there, sis. Sir, you might not want to go back there. But it's okay, Jesus is there. Amen. And that's what you got to see. Pastor, I failed. Jesus was there. I made a mistake. Jesus was there. And he knew that. He knew Peter was going to do what he did. He told him. He told him. Like your failure is going to surprise God. But Satan keeps accusing, appointing, slandering. It is the Lord. It's okay to go back there and let God do some healing. Amen. Amen. You see when you see what he's doing here? And let's just keep reading. He girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with them. Okay, what is all this? We've been here, done this before, right? Memory, emotion, okay? As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a what? All right, let's stop. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 5, and chapter 1, verse 1 of Deuteronomy? There's a lot of emotions listed there in verse 1. By the time you get to verse 5, I dissected a few sermons ago how these false gods had to be dismantled, right? And if you recall this, if you've been paying attention and you're studying this, you recalled that one of those gods, one of those things, there was pillars, groves, altars that are listed there. And one of those things that I identified was a trigger that brings back an emotion. How many of you have been in a bad situation, you smelt something that brings back a memory? And see, when people have been traumatized or they've done something embarrassing, they don't want to go. I remember I did something dumb as a kid. My kids are going to ask me what I did. I'm not going to tell you. And I never want to go down that highway. Because it brought back what? Emotions. Now I can drive by it when I go back home. It don't bother me as bad. I'm thinking, man, what a dumb kid. You know, you can wreck your life in a moment, you know. But what God was doing, when Peter saw this fire, you see, God was taking Peter back and showing him some victories. But now he's at a fire. Where did Peter deny the Lord? Where was he at? The Bible says he was by a fire, what, warming himself. So don't tell me, do not tell me that God doesn't want to heal your emotions. Because that's where Satan has you in bondage. Let me say it again. That's where Satan has you in bondage. Jesus took him back in the past, had him to recall these things by fire, coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter. Now, who are we getting to now? Simon Peter. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, and 153, and all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Does that sound familiar? Okay. And Jesus said, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and the fish, and fish likewise. This now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Now he's getting down to business. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to who? He's letting all these emotions come to the top. Why? That's where Peter needed healing. Listen, he didn't need physical healing. He didn't need spiritual healing. He'd already put his faith in Jesus Christ. God was working on that area of his trichotomy that where Satan had him in bondage, friends. And he took him three times back to let him know, Peter, not only have you been forgiven, son, I want you to feel like you've been forgiven. So, Pastor, that goes against it. Let me tell you something. If you don't feel like you're forgiven, you're going to stay in a corner. If you don't feel like, listen, you ladies can relate. If your husband comes by and says, I love you, honey, but if you don't feel it, are you going to believe it? You see, God understood something right here. That if Peter didn't believe it, and also experience it in his emotion that he was forgiven. You see, Satan wants to manipulate the emotion. No, you're not forgiven. No, you're not healed. No, you are in guilt. No, you should still be shameful. You see, and it's that part of us that God wants to touch. Because if we go back to the definition of why Christ came, if he came to deliver those and set at liberty those that have been, what, in bondage? And here's where we're in bondage. And we started this emotional thing. You've heard me say, you may not be in addiction bondage with alcohol or drugs, but you can be in bondage and not know it for your emotions, which is the greatest deception of all. Darkness is the absence of light. And if there's parts in your life where that's tender and you don't feel the presence of God there, and some of you may want to ridicule me about this. I understand. We don't go off feeling, we go off by faith. And by the way, that's what keeps you going when you don't feel it. But I'm here to tell you, Peter wouldn't have been recommissioned here today in the scripture, in this passage, if God hadn't dealt with his emotions. Now, we'll argue with you on that. Because if Jesus addressed the emotional factor, don't you think we ought to? If Jesus understood that is the thing, Peter didn't need his doctrine corrected. Amen. He's trying to heal this man's heart. And once he got his heart healed, this man walked around a powerhouse for God. Amen. Preached on the day of Pentecost, thousands got saved. Don't tell me for a moment that Peter didn't want to know and believe that the depths of his emotions and his heart and his soul and his mind that he was healed and forgiven by Jesus Christ. Of course Satan didn't want him realizing what God had for him. He never was going to get it until God took him back. Jesus took him back and brought these emotions with the fish, with the fire, surfaced them back up and said, Peter, you're forgiven there. You're forgiven there. You're forgiven there. Amen. Now I want you to move forward, son. You see, and that is where oftentimes we say, I know I'm forgiven, but I just don't feel like I'm forgiven. I have this guilt I'm still dealing with. I have this insecurity I'm still dealing with. There's an intellectual knowledge, and then there is experiential emotional knowledge. Now let me give you the two, and I'm going to close with this. Let me give you this analogy. Say you're on a battlefield, and a bomb goes off right beside you. Blows you 20 feet away. You're not hurt, but you just shook up. It's called shell shock, right? Your buddy runs over. He looks at you and says, man, you're good to go. Grab your gun, let's go. But you're going, yeah. You intellectually process the information. I'm okay. I'm all right. But you don't feel all right. And if you don't feel like you're all right, are you going to jump up and just charge? What's going to happen? It's going to take a few moments for you to start realizing that your feeling and the intellect need to connect and agree. Right? And when that happens, then you can get back in the battle. And here's how Satan keeps us out of the battle. Our emotions never agree with our intellect, and our intellect never agree with our emotion. You see, the lie is embodied. The bondage is embodied in the emotion. You can tell somebody they're forgiven all you want. You can tell somebody they don't need to carry the guilt and the shame and the pain all you want. And they can look at people and say, and I've read where ministers and counselors said, you can take people who have been abused and say, yes, I know it wasn't my fault. Yes, I know that, you know, Jesus forgive. I know that Jesus healed. They can tell you every theological, intellectual point of interest and hit it spot on. But there's the other side where they feel like they're still in bondage. And that side is the emotional side. And you see, it doesn't matter what we agree with here if we're not agreeing with it and realizing that God wants to heal our heart, heal our emotions as well. We're never going to pick that weapon up and charge as hard or ever again. Unless God, we will realize that God does want to take you back and heal the past because it's memory. Memories are triggered. But you need to know God redeemed us past, present, future. And the emotion, I'm going to say this, I may get myself in trouble with this, but the emotion will always match the name of the demon. How many believe that you can be their demons? I have dealt with people so to the extent of this. I hear voices. Those voices are real. We say, you know, I believe in, I know it's in the Bible, but can it be true today? Yeah. And I'm starting to understand why people, I don't look at them a little bit different. Because the more I look into this, I realize it is a demonic influence. And whatever you're feeling, whatever triggers those emotions from the past, understand this, that emotion will match the name of the demon. What's the name of your demon today? I'm here to tell you, Jesus cast out demons. Amen. I cannot tell you how many times people have texted, emailed, called, caught me here, caught me there, saying, Pastor, you don't know what these messages, how they're helping me. And to be honest, I would think there are maybe 5 or 10, 20, 30 more people here, if they'd be honest. You see, because a lot of this stuff's private. And you don't want to go there. But if you're not willing for Jesus to take you there, you're not going to get the healing God wants you to have. I'm going to ask you a question today. Will you trust Jesus enough to go there and let him heal you? He took Peter there. I think Peter did all right afterwards, don't you? He got the freedom that he wanted. And the freedom that Jesus and only Jesus could give him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, just pray today that as you stirred up the darkness in Peter, Lord, may the Holy Spirit of God stir the darkness in our own hearts today. And realize that the true source of our pain is the lie that Satan is telling us. The lie of the emotion. We believe what we feel and feel what we believe. Many times. So Father, I pray today by faith for everyone, all of us here today, that we not only take your word by faith, but you let us go back and deal with the emotions where the lie was put in. The lie where Satan says, you're guilty. Go back to the traumatic event and say, where Satan said, this is where you failed. You're just as guilty. And Lord, help us to realize that Jesus wants to heal in those areas as well. In Jesus' name.